Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have two folks in the studio today who have been with us a couple of times before and someone new. We're very excited to introduce you to Brendan Barrett, special guest co-host. I put him in the hot seat today. You have to play a role with me, but I know you do this plenty on your own.
I do, yeah.
I'm acting like it's your first rodeo, and you've probably done it more than I have.
I don't know. Your setup makes me look like an amateur hobbyist, so I'm still jealous every time I come here.
Well, we're happy to have Brendan with us. He is indeed my special co-host for this segment, and he is also the founder of Start in Phoenix.
Yes.
And you're the one. You're the brainchild behind this conversation today.
Yeah.
You're the one who said, do you know him? You need to get to know him. So we're happy to, and I'll leave who him is here in a second. Also back to the studio, I think for the second time, huh, Carolyn?
Yes, second time.
Yeah. So Carolyn Vassos is with us. She is the Director of Business Development with Perimeter 83, which is located and housed inside of the University of Advancing Technology. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So thrilled to have you. You guys have been busy.
We've been very busy. I used to say we were the best kept secret, but I think at this point we're maybe the worst kept secret.
Well, I think I've said that last time you're here. We're going to fix that. We're going to make sure enough people know about you, and we'll hear a little bit more about why it makes sense to have you with us today as well. And our surprise guest today is Aram Chavez. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thrilled to have you. And what a great company name. Aram is the founder of AHA to Exit.
That's right. AHA to Exit, basically. We're all dreamers, right? So your aha moment, yep.
And then the exit, I'm assuming that means like after I've built this business up or you help me, right?
Yes.
And then what's the next step after that?
Well, you gotta go through the building blocks of getting your team together, and that's what we call a startup, right? And my job is essentially to get you out of the startup as quickly as possible. So the exit.
Yeah, very good. AHA to Exit. I love that name. Now, how did you two connect, you and Brendan?
I first saw Aram speak at Chandler Innovations. There was an all-day weekend
event. That's right.
And I walked into the room not knowing what to expect. Sounded like a cool presentation. And from like the first minute, I was hooked. Aram is one heck of a presenter and lecturer. And so I was following him shortly thereafter. And we connected and did an interview of our own for the Business of Family and Selling. And I've been stalking this guy ever since.
Good. So tell us about the Business of Family and Selling. That's your podcast?
Yeah, so we're 68 episodes in.
Wow.
It's an hour-long interview format where we talk about the best practices in sales and sales leadership that enable a healthy or desired work-life balance and integration.
And you are definitely the guy to have at that helm helping us learn. That's really great. And so, Carolyn, speak to how the two of you are connected.
So Aram actually came into Perimeter 83, and he was brought in by Rick Stoddard, a friend of ours.
Rick Stoddard! Love Rick.
Yep.
Yeah. And I had no idea what was about to be presented, honestly. And Aram starts laying out this concept that he has. He shows us this startup map. And, I mean, I remember reaching across the table and going, this is protected, right?
Like, I love this. And have you done your due diligence to make sure, right?
Because, you know, when you see someone with a great idea, you'd want to make sure that, you know, they don't lose track of that and that they're on the right track. And I'm just happy that he's getting a light shone on him.
Yeah. So I read your bio, and you've been around a while.
Yeah.
You've helped a lot of people be successful.
Yeah. And I've been lucky. I'm a native of Arizona, so I'm a proud Arizona son, if you will. And we really just want to grow the entrepreneurship community from the ground up. Yeah. And that's my space.
Yeah. Very good. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing at Perimeter 83.
Yeah, so really excited to present there this weekend, and we're gonna have a mixer on Friday evening, and then Saturday at UAT we're gonna have an all day course event where we're gonna talk about everything from your aha moment to the building blocks and all the things that you need to know with a map. And we're going to be doing that all day Saturday. And then Saturday night, we'll have another mixer and really trying to bring people together also to maybe see if there are some similar ideas, maybe help each other out a little bit too.
The conscious capitalism model.
Yes.
Gotta love it, right? It's all around reaching across the aisle. Plenty of competition. The competition is healthy and good, mm-hmm. but it's also okay to make sure we're lifting each other up and finding those great collaborative partnerships.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's a unattended collaboration, right?
Yes.
That's what we're looking for. Just trying to bring people together.
And who needs to be there on Saturday? And you said Saturday and Friday. Friday night mixer.
Yeah, Friday night mixer. Saturday is the real content and the delivery of what they need to know and how to get there. I would say that anyone who is thinking about starting a business, a startup that's already moving forward, and small businesses, individuals that that may already have a small business. It could be something that's been in the marketplace for a few years. They'll benefit quite a bit also.
Well, and so the AHA to Exit Live event, which people can learn more about at ahatoexitlive.com, right?
Yes, that's
is
right.
This event is all spun, it's all content spun off of the map.
That's right.
The AHA to Exit map, which is what I saw you present on the first time.
And that's what Carolyn was speaking to.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe I talk just a little bit about myself just so you guys.
Please do. Yeah. I don't want to keep it all to myself. I was reading. I'm like nodding my head like, oh my.
You're having your own aha.
I was having my own aha moment. I wish I were him. So yeah, please give us the backstory. So
in the 90s, I was an iBanker, an investment banker, and we were funding a lot of small companies. And then I also, growing up, you know, had a lot of my own little businesses. I was washing cars, detailing in high school, and never really wanted to work for anyone else. And then had a couple of my own businesses, in the 90s and the zeros also, the 2000s. And then I got the itch to teach and decided I was going to go back to Chandler Gilbert Community College and start teaching my craft, which is entrepreneurship. And what I discovered was when I got into academia was that there was no process or syntax for innovators to become entrepreneurs. And so I thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're still teaching business plans. And as an investor, so I'm an investor, I'm an entrepreneur, and for my second act, I'm a teacher, right? So I decided to do some research. I contacted a lot of universities in entrepreneurship, and I couldn't find any professor in university with a path on everyone teaches tools, right? But there is no path. And so I thought, this isn't how it's done in the real world. You know, we've got a path and a process. And so I created the AHA to Exit map, and it's 10 steps, beginning with your AHA moment. But what was frustrating was there's so much great material, tools, teachings, books, and yet what we do is we hope that when you absorb it all, that you throw it against the wall and you hope that it sticks, and we hope that you get lucky in that. And there are companies that do get lucky with the process, but that's not good enough. That it wasn't good enough for me, and it wasn't going to be good enough for my students. So shortly thereafter, I started teaching. So I'm a professor at Arizona State University in the Ira Fulton Schools of Engineering, which is another little sidebar here. They asked, why are you teaching in the engineering school? And mm-hmm. I said, well, because they're the ones who make things. They're the ones who need to know, entrepreneurship and finance. It's been wildly successful there at ASU, the degree program, Technological Entrepreneurship and Management. And we use the map. We use the map all the time. And I found that at UAT that they had an entrepreneurial spirit about them. And so I approached them specifically after a few years of just kind of feeling the market out, because I saw that they had a constituency or a bunch of students that really wanted to go to that next level. So that's what's happening this weekend, and that's the genesis of the map.
And I think what's really interesting is, as Aram, you know, explained this and unfolded it, he uses it as a tool for people mm-hmm. along the way. Like, so I remember you saying, I remember you're in Europe on a trip. You can get into that. But basically, you were counseling these various companies and organizations, and you were like, well, so see, the problem is you're two steps ahead. And I yes. love that, yeah. you know, yeah. it was like, and I come, like, I'm a big advocate of Montessori learning. There's like a visual mm-hmm. learning to it. Mm-hmm. And to me, I feel like all these things we have in conversations at networking events, telling mm-hmm. people what to do, and we're, you know.
Again, throwing at them.
Yeah, yeah. just yeah. all the terminology, and, oh, you should do this, did you do that? And he just really laid it out. I mean, very simply,
yeah.
like, exactly what you're supposed to do.
The beauty of the map is putting first things first and not exhausting your resources, doing, again, being two steps ahead when really you should be working on something else and refining that and getting that right. That sets you up for success in that next step.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a big part of this, especially for small businesses, and Carolyn hit it right on the head, is what have you skipped, right? So you and the other thing that I wanted to prevent was over-pivoting, right? So a lot of times companies or startups, they pivot because they think that they, you know, that what's working or what they're doing now isn't working. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is they just need to go back and fill in a couple of gaps, and then they'll find that it works. And mm-hmm. so if you pivot too much, you end up 2-3 years later without any monetization or commercialization.
Yeah, and you're looking at needing to leave the business and hand the keys over.
Yeah, right. That's yeah. right.
And oftentimes without anything to show for it, right? So when I heard the term exit or aha to exit, to me, exit meant, and correct me if I'm wrong, scale a business so that it's monetized and it's lucrative, and you can decide whether this is legacy and you're passing on to somebody in your family, or you're preparing from day one or at some point, hopefully, to sell it.
That's right. Succession planning is just as important as any acquisition out there. And succession planning is something that we lack in Arizona. A mm-hmm. lot of. So mm-hmm. the exit is an important part, but going through each step with a map allows people to pick a point, march towards it, but do it sequentially. Mm-hmm. And what really has just boggled my mind for years is that we just hope that you get lucky. We'll give you all the tools. No one teaches it as a discipline. If you want to learn anything, whether it be ride a bike or, you know, if you're learning how to ride a bike, okay, you go to from the tricycle to the training wheels and, you know, and then the bike. There's always a process. Mm-hmm. This is the only discipline, entrepreneurship, that in any university is not taught with a process.
Yet.
Well, and so what are people left?
That's
the
right.
The most yeah. important process.
What are people left to do then but go by their gut? And some of the stuff on the map is counterintuitive.
Yes.
Right? Like
yep,
being the sales nerd, I always I gravitate towards the cult, the concept of the cult, and going after these really big fish who have built-in audiences and pleasing them first rather than selling to people who are small potatoes and working your way up. That's starting small and working your way up is how a lot of people would approach selling and marketing. But this concept of the cult, again, that goes completely against that.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate right. a little bit on the cult and how that works?
That up. That's one of my so the cult is an acronym that I created. It stands for customer user lead tester. And not to complicate things, but they're really experts in whatever space that you're in. And if you're going to launch your service or launch your product in the marketplace, you need to get beaten up by them first because they categorically reject mediocrity. They only accept and embrace superiority. And the reality of it is, if you can get the cult, if you can get experts to validate your product or service, and that might take several iterations and several months, but when they accept it, that's when you can think about quitting your day job.
Yeah, because that's when they embrace it. I know I run it in circles, obviously, that you're talking about. For instance, UAT is very big on cybersecurity degrees, and so the cybersecurity community is all around. Some of them do it volunteer, hobby-based. Mm-hmm. Some of them do it for a living. But the same thing, but they are truly the go-to people in town. They know everything that's going on. And that if you're going to present a product, they are like the ultimate focus group to put it in front of, and they will be really hard on you, but you will refine down to what you need. So I love that concept.
And if you look at the most successful companies or almost any company out there that's a large, we'll say, standardization or standardized product, I mean, you look at Tesla. They didn't start off with the Model 3, right? They started off with the Roadster, the S, the X, and then the Model 3. And now you've got more of a mass appeal. But it always starts off with impressing the experts, and then you expand out of the niche into more of the mass market. And that's one thing that I want people to focus on, though, is you don't have to be successful, you don't have to grow out of the niche. I mean, look at Ferrari. You know, there's not a lot of people that own Ferraris. They do $8 billion in revenue a year, and they make 8,000 units a year, right? 8,000 cars a year, and that's it. And they're successful. And and success is also in the eye of the beholder. So success doesn't necessarily mean it might not have anything to do with money. It might just have to do with the impact that you have in your community, the impact that you're having in your environment, and maybe just helping other people. So I want to make sure that you know, if you attend the courses this weekend, that you understand that you don't have to be thinking about the Walmart volume scale model, right? We're here just to talk about and show you how to get from A to B in the shortest period of time. And the Colt is a big part of that.
Can you give us an example of a couple of products and the Colt? So like for Ferrari, who is their Colt?
Yeah, so Ferrari, so their Colt would be Formula One drivers, right? Those are the ones testing the product. If you can impress a Formula One driver, then Ferrari will launch the product into the marketplace. Because somebody like me, not that I'm interested in a Ferrari, but if I was, I would look to see who validated this first, right? Mm-hmm. And as another example of a company that maybe didn't, if you look at Samsung, which has plenty of money, they failed to engage with the Colt with their Samsung smartwatch. Mm-hmm. And when it first launched, they were just the mindset of being first to market. They didn't actually get expert approval. And I remember the day they launched, I watched some financial channel. They had two wearable technology experts that were talking about the smartwatch, and they would say, oh, well, you know, this looks pretty interesting, and I'm not sure about that. Oh, but I kind of like this, and I'm a little confused about that. And that's not an endorsement.
Not benefiting them.
Right, yeah.
That's a really bad demo on air live.
Right.
That should have been happening well before it went out to everybody. Interesting.
And that is, and this is something that even in corporate boardrooms, is I'm often speaking to companies of all different sizes, but they always bring up the go-to-market strategy. And I tell everyone, you know, you're going to have to get beaten up by the Colt. And I don't care how big your company is or how small it is. If you do it the right way, if you put your product or service in the right hands of the right people, and you take their advice and you iterate and reiterate, you're going to be at some point successful. And that's when you can start thinking about commercializing and monetizing the product after you've gotten that feedback from the Colt. It's that important.
Well, and it fuels that's the selling and marketing of that product too, right? Because these people are experts, or they're considered experts because they have a built-in audience. Mm-hmm. A Formula One driver, you know, people are paying attention to them. Who's paying attention to them? Mm-hmm. People who have cash to buy really nice cars
that they have
no business owning.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true. Similarly, golf clubs. Uh-huh. Who pays for high-priced golf clubs? It's people who work white-collar jobs and have the weekend to play golf and maybe play golf two or three times as work, air quotes, mm-hmm. right, throughout the week.
Yes.
And so they're the ones watching the tournaments on the weekend. And so if you get, you know, a Tiger or somebody else to use the club and say great things about the club, like, there's your social proof.
There it is.
Now you just capture that and put some paid traffic behind it, or post it all around the world wherever those people are hanging out, and it sells itself.
And Brendan, you bring up another point, which is, in my courses, we talk about starting a business with no money.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get your product or service branded? The best way to do it is with the Colt. we can't pay them. You might be able to create a prototype and give that to them so they can test it.
Yeah, because even as early adoption, they enjoy that as being part of the inside.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And so they will, if you look at the chronology of say, customers, they are the third-party expert that people are going to say, oh, you know what? She likes this. If it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's an important aspect of this, is to understand that we don't have money and we have to build with the few resources that we do have available to us. And how do we leverage that? And so this weekend at UAT, we're going to go in depth with that. But the reality of it is there is a way to do it, and there's a way to do it successfully. And getting you out of that garage is part of the fun. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that you bring up that they have to get beat up for it, because that actually, it's funny. It comes up a lot with my clients at Perimeter. I've had them say, I had a founder say, listen, we're going to go, you know, after all the team members, and I want you to go after me. And I loved hearing that, because he was like, if I go after the team members and we really get into everybody's business, what's good, what's bad, everything, mm-hmm. I want the equality of it. And people that arrive and put their ego, you know, in their pocket and sit down and, you know, say what they're going to do, and then are willing to take the hits, that's growth. I mean, that's growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a dangerous space too, right? Because everybody, there's free advice everywhere, right? And so, like, what advice do you listen to at what time in the stage of your business? Go back to the map.
Yeah.
Well, right. And without that, how do we know who to go to and listen to, right? We're bombarded in every direction we turn, whether it's the phone, my phone rings off the hook with, you know, folks, you know, offering investment or whatever it is, or HR services or things that I don't need, social media, emails, LinkedIn. I mean, we're bombarded with these so-called experts in these different pockets. And then unless you have a map, which clearly I need to have one.
I keep it on the back of my notebook.
Right. Well, I would imagine, right, because we're making these decisions in these pockets, as opposed to being able to, I'm going to use the word benchmark or really milestone against something that's already been proven over and over and over again.
That's right. And the part that I also want to stress here, though, is we've indoctrinated, I think, just about everyone with volume as being the only way to really make money. And so everyone has a solution that seems to be mass market. And I can't tell you how many students I have that come to me and say, hey, I've got this app idea. And that's a mass market idea. It's like, it's okay, if everyone just gives me a dollar, I'll be a billionaire a year, right? And it just isn't realistic. And so I'm trying to reset the expectations to starting off in the niche instead of thinking about the mass market. And if you want to grow into the mass market, you do that only after you've, as you said, Karen, after you've created those milestones and benchmarks and have hit them. And those are on the map. And so I've simplified the map so that you can see where you're at, where you're going, and where you've been. So when you're talking also to an angel investor, we don't have a lot of VCs here in Arizona, but we have a lot of angel investors and a lot of the three Fs, the friends, family, and fools. When you're talking to them and you're trying to defend your valuation, you can use the map and say, this is where I've been, this is where I'm at, and this is where I'm going. And it gives everyone, not only the investor, but your team, a lot of confidence in the path.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of folks, you know, it's like getting a job with no experience, or the chicken before the egg.
Yeah, right.
Like, you need the experience to get the job, but you can't get the experience without the job. Similarly, like, you need money to fund production of something, to be able to sell it, to have the sales to prove that somebody could be willing to fund your startup, right?
And around and around it goes.
The reality is, if you took a solid offer and pitched it to the cult and they ate it up, or you refined it until they were screaming your name from the mountaintop, there's going to be tons of people willing to pour gasoline on your fire through funding, right?
That's right.
They'll find you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of people who come in with a great idea and nothing but a dream, and thank goodness there's a map for that at this point, because we like to say, well, you know, the next step isn't really funding.
Yeah,
you got to do a few things first.
Yeah.
And so this map works for products and services.
Yes, yes.
Brick and mortar and online.
That's right.
Is there any industry or vertical that you'd say, hey, you know what? I mean, I can't imagine there is.
No, you know, the reason I say that it works for any industry is because you still have to learn the process of building a team. It doesn't matter what that product or service is. You still have to learn the process of doing this first before that. You still have to learn the terms, the phrases. You have to be baselined, if you will. And so... one of my other frustrations is there are a lot of really well-intentioned individuals teaching entrepreneurs how to pitch, and yet they don't understand pre-money versus post-money valuation. So they learn how to pitch before they actually understand
what they want.
Right? Yeah, or what the VC wants.
Yeah, or equally, and maybe even more so important.
I think that's why we watch a lot of that Shark Tank.
Yeah, right,
right,
right. And so understanding that the entire process helps you in any industry. And I'll tell you a funny story. So this map is here and it's available to us in Arizona. And I started to I was invited to IEEE, and they wanted me to present on the map. This is in 2017, 2018, and so I went up. I presented the map, and there were a lot of VCs in the room. It was in Silicon Valley. And the first question after I was done presenting was a gentleman, and I don't know if he knew that he was, you know, really, he was kind of thinking out loud. And he said, well, how did you come up with the map if you're not from here?
And I'm
like, oh, goodness, you guys are in such a bubble up here. You guys think that entrepreneurship is just here. And I told him politely, I said, there's more entrepreneurship outside of Silicon Valley than there is in it. And
might want to try a new fishing hole.
Yeah, right. So, but he came up to me afterwards, interestingly, and asked me if I would consider teaching some of the companies that they are funding the process, and as more for insurance for him. Mm-hmm. And so, this is the first map ever created for innovators to become entrepreneurs. And I think the reason is because most academics, you know, they've been, you know, they're teaching. They haven't really been risking their capital or putting the blood, sweat, and tears into a venture. And then most venture capitalists, there's not enough money in it for them to come teach, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this very large gap. I like to tell people the reason why I'm qualified is because I've cried in my pillow many times.
I was going to say, probably more than once.
Yes.
I think that's kind of, required.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So go back to this example, this guy who's like, wow, how are you qualified? And how did you know the secret? That's what I was hearing in that. Like, we know the secret here in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. How do you know? And not only how do you know, but you laid it out so that massive amounts of people can understand it. I'm sure it's taught and presented in such a way that it just makes sense.
Well, and it's almost a democratization of that information that for years has been capped.
That's why he said what he said, like with this.
Yeah, right.
Who are you?
I love that, you know, anywhere, anybody can be out there. I mean, translate it into every language.
And that you're forthgiving with it, right? So that's again, this whole conscious capitalism idea that we're really here to lift each other up. I mean, again, we're not going to go selling trade secrets or, you know, giving them away. But when it's something that can help an individual and or a company and a team grow, why wouldn't we put that out there?
That's right.
So is there a fee for this experience with you this weekend then?
Yes, there is a fee. There's it's the whole day, the entire day. It's $40. And I give away the map, so you don't have to. You don't have to. If you can't make it this time, you can at least download the map.
ahatoexit.com.
Yep, ahatoexit.com, and
grab a copy of the map for free.
Yeah, and to get really granular, really understand the map, we've got this event that at UAT that that I'm so excited about, because this is really the first time I'm teaching outside of ASU in the community that I'm from. And this is, it's a big dream of mine, and UAT has no idea how excited I am, but they will on Saturday.
I think they know, I know they're excited, clearly. You probably don't have any idea about the magnitude yet until you probably see it unfold before your eyes.
I know. I think it's just going to be, because I mean, I know the taste of what it is, but the whole day spent going in depth into all of these.
What a gift.
I mean, for $40, that's dirt cheap. So the map is, the beautiful thing about the map is its simplicity. And then it spins off all these questions you didn't know you had. And to be right in front of Arum for a day and be able to raise your hand and ask those questions as they occur to you, that's an exciting opportunity.
So you got
to
know, I'm sitting here. I've got 3 baseball games on Saturday. can I get out of those? Which I cannot. But
just get a cardboard cut out of yourself.
And hit tape recorder. Can you hit record for me and I'll download my map? Opportunities beyond Perimeter 83, not that I want to take away from that, but where else do we have opportunity to learn with you?
With AHA to Exit, we are launching on May 10th. We are launching a video academy, 4 courses that go in depth with each part of the discipline. So entrepreneurship is a interdisciplinary, and there are lots of different operations, strategy, sales, which is a big part of this. And we bring them together and I chop them up and make sure that they're in a sequential order so they're easy to understand. And we launch those on May 10th. But we also plan, I'm from the community, I'm from Arizona. So I plan on doing some financial seminars in terms of startup finance. I know that we don't have any money, right? So how do we build and grow without any money? And there's a whole financial model that needs to be explained. And like we were saying earlier, you know, in Silicon Valley, there are a lot of trade secrets that are starting to come out, and they've come out in the map. So there's going to be a lot more content coming down the pipe.
Yeah, well,
I have a request for content.
Oh,
yeah. I think that we need to grab these kids early on. And I know myself, I had this board game that was all about selling and negotiating. I think that the map should be a board game, honestly, and brought down
gamified
to the level,
right?
Or a video game. I don't care which one you do. And we can help you with the video game at UAT.
For sure.
But you know, that just lays it out, but starts with this generation that it's just in their lexicon and they just know all about it before they even, arrive.
Oh, your team's going to have fun with that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've got a bigger discussion on that. I think, Carolyn. So we plan on gamifying it for younger students, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that the Y and Z generation of the millennials, the majority of them want to have their own business.
Yes, they do.
And so what we don't have a shortage of is innovators. And I have an old saying, and I modified it, but I have this old saying, innovation without entrepreneurship is hallucination.
I remember you saying that. That's like a keeper.
Yeah. So, you know, being innovative is one thing and having great ideas, but we've got to get them out of the marketplace to be meaningful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you this, though. I have more fun, I think, than anybody on the planet. I get to listen to people's dreams every day. And it doesn't matter how big or small they are. The privilege of listening to people's dreams I get emotional about it because that's what they want to do, whether it be, you know, opening up a bakery to creating something that's going to take down, you know,
Google.
Intel or sorry, Google or something. Yeah. You know, they're all important.
And you have this way about you. We've just met literally right before the show. You have this humility about you. And for you to just say that, you know, the joy and the passion for it, you're not an asshole.
That's important.
It's very important because how intimidating it for someone to come and share in front of investors or, you know, whatever it is, and they're going out there and they know they may or may not know they're going to get beat up, mm-hmm. right? But you come with the credibility, you come with the knowledge, you come with the experience, all those things. And I would feel very comfortable speaking to you. That's huge.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find that most people that have had their own business that have gotten beaten up, you know, we have failures, and you have to be, I think, there has to be some humility to you and some humbleness to you. And I will tell you, though, that I find that a lot with a lot of very successful business owners, that if we're at a ball game, this has happened to me a few times where maybe I'm in a suite, they have their entourage of VPs and whatnot and C-level. They want to talk to the dreamer because that's who they have most in common yep. with, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think I'm any different than a lot of those individuals that can say, you know, I know exactly where you're at, you know, and so I'm willing to bet, and I've never met Bill Gates before, but I'm willing to bet that Bill Gates would have more fun talking to someone in the startup phase than someone he's paying, you know, a very large salary to in his own company, mm-hmm. simply because he has more in common with her or with him than anybody.
And actually, at Perimeter, we have a corporation who is tapping into that conversation, Insight. And it's part of a movement overall of corporations to move into co-working spaces with smaller companies mm-hmm. and entrepreneurs. And they just want to be there for the conversation.
Yes.
They want to be there to
right.
add support. I have heard Kurt Cornham, I don't know if you know Kurt.
Yeah.
He's been on with me. Amazing.
Yeah. We've got an R&D group on that right now. And so that connection to the dreamer, I love to watch it because I introduce people.
Yeah.
And I just go, okay, tell them what you do. And then.
and another great, humble man, Kurt Cornham, just so giving and so generous. Great segue for you, if you don't mind. Tell us a little bit more about UAT and Perimeter 83. We haven't had, I mean, I know because you've been on with us before, but for our listeners who are just having this opportunity, let's give you a few brag moments.
Well, Perimeter is inside of the University of Advancing Technology. Perimeter 83, everybody always thinks I'm housing aliens. I am not. everything that's within the university's roofline, that's what we say, it's Perimeter. And 83 is the year that the university was actually founded. We are accredited just like ASU and U of A and NAU. We have this piece, so they've been teaching for years, like 35 years, right? But then they really needed sort of a corporate connection. What they were noticing was that corporations, like startups, were sitting down in our common area and mm-hmm. sort of poaching and having conversations with students. And then it was like, well, why don't we make a place for them as long as they're going to house in here anyway? Mm-hmm. So we have that aspect. We do events as well within the space. And Friday night, we'll be up in Perimeter Space. We have beautiful balcony, mountain views out there.
Yeah, it's sharp.
Yeah. And then we have, you know, other side rooms. But in addition to that, we offer all the coursework that the university has. So, I mean, I don't think you can go to a better place. We have some of the highest certifications for cybersecurity, and also into other areas, gaming. I love when people go, oh, they're just going to make video games. I'm like, you don't know what's happening. Like, you might want to go back and read about it.
And if you haven't toured,
and oh
yet,
yes, if you
we would, can come do that. It is one of the most magnificent facilities, places of education, yeah. and just a place to be, just around amazing innovators.
What's wonderful is that we've had state, like the economic development councils and everybody, they're now pipelining directly to us, and we have been getting so many wins of corporations that were thinking of moving here, and they mm-hmm. did like a tour of several things. We were one of them. And they said yes because mm-hmm. of what we're doing. So we like heard one today. I mean, it's just so gratifying to be able to bring more robust community for the technology area.
Do you attribute that shift to developing Perimeter and having this new? I know the using the term co-work space is not accurate because it's so much more than that.
It is.
But do you attribute some of that attention and that awareness because you've developed this additional space and place for people to play together?
Yes, and I think part of that is that Russ Yelton, who's the executive director.
Another shout out, Russ Yelton. We do love Russ.
Russ and I sort of, instead of like, hey, sit down, put your laptop down, we have a different approach. We have the affiliate program, and even if you're not housing in there, you can be there anytime you want, but they get our time. So what have I been doing this week? I'm refining decks for people who are going out for funding. I mean, I remember I said to somebody, because I worked in radio, I said, you are creating a show. You may not think you're in a show, but you have to be dynamic. And if you wonder how are these people all getting funded? they put on a really good show, and they had good numbers and good people behind it. So we get into all the aspects of the roadmap, of the startup map itself. But yeah, and I think that has set us apart from what everybody else is doing in town.
Well, congratulations, because it's amazing. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the ecosystem, and we're all, I think what we all have in common here is we're all trying to build the ecosystem, and none of us can do it on our own.
No.
It takes it really truly does take everyone, all ships rise together to really bring it up. I think that the startup has got to be the foundation of any real ecosystem. Otherwise, you're going to be left with a lot of companies and a lot of dreamers that have, you know, failed to launch and failed to launch properly. So the ecosystem with UAT, with ASU, U of A, NAU, and then all the other programs that are within the cities, whether it be the city of Phoenix, city of Chandler, the community colleges, there are a lot of incubators out there. I think that what we're doing will help support them in terms of being able to give them a map, give them something that they can actually use internally. And hopefully that'll be part of Arizona's secret sauce for the next, you know, several years.
Well, and I'll tell you one thing. So the first day at UAT, which is fun entrepreneur kind of experiment, we throw everybody into the theater where actually you will be speaking. And our president and he comes in and he basically says, all right, this is your first day, your first assignment, here you go. And everybody looks at each other like, wait, I haven't even taken a course.
Yeah.
And so he just puts it out there and says, here's the criteria, find a group to work with, come back in 2 days and present. And they all look at each other. They're all from different disciplines, backgrounds, and they have figured out. And he says, yes, this is life.
This is
the life of an entrepreneur. Go out, find your team, put it together, work on your project, and then present and hope you do well.
Yeah.
And now this new piece, not new to the UAT crew, but not new to you, this map getting to be part of it is going to be amazing.
Well, it's so what their conversation is reminding me of was the presentation is at the Conscious Capitalism event a couple of weeks ago, right? Where the story is not the individual stars, it's the network of stars that make up a galaxy, and none of them can live on their own or their growth be possible without the relationships that they have. And so I think one thing, like when I'm working with people who've never sold something, they're a builder, right? Mm-hmm. They have this great idea, is like getting out into the community, you know, whether it's telephonically via like some online community or physically showing up to events and engaging with people who are working on other things. That's what fuels the cool ideas. And that's what helps you make the micro pivot rather than the over pivot, because you've seen, oh, well, that's way too far, right? And we're thinking out loud, like some people are doing, whether they should or shouldn't be doing it.
And I'm running around parties and cross-pollinating and telling people about other people. And I ran into somebody's like, I need a PhD in linguistics. And boom, I'm at a PhD in linguistics. I'm like, okay, I've got this.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, and then so when things like opportunity doesn't happen because like, oh, something happens and we build to it, it's the circumstances are already set. And that's what makes an opportunity. We can act on it right then and there. So when we're lobbed a challenge, like you were explaining before, like I already got six people I can reach out to make that thing happen. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the groundwork has to be already laid. So if you're not constantly doing that, you're going to find yourself missing opportunities because, again, your network wasn't established.
It's true, because when you're starting your business, it can be a very lonely experience. There's actually some really good articles about that. The founders have no one to bounce things off of. So if you go to an event like this, you meet up with other people, you find out how to do this. I mean, Aram is a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to get yourself engaged.
Well, and the design of Aram's event is something fantastic because, you know, you sign up for this event, somebody reaches out to you within 24 to 48 hours to start the conversation. So you already got a familiar face when you walk through the door.
He's loving this.
And then when they do, you know, when they do walk through the door, now you have somebody to talk to who can guide you through the experience. And then following the event, whether you actually show up for the $40 or you got baseball games to go to, the conversation continues thereafter because they're doing a 3-week coaching program for anybody who's, goes, downloads a copy of the map, whether they show up to the event or not. But if you do show up to the event, you're going to have all of this conversation that went on Saturday and all the questions you had answered. Well, now you're going to be thinking about that, metabolizing it, and it's going to spill over into the weeks after. And now you have somebody to talk about that and continue, you know, the progress made for heck, $40.
The low barrier to entry is really important for business owners because we've, again, all been so bombarded. So what a generous gift to say, hey, look, come, get a feel for this, see what we're all about. And if this is a good fit for you, or even if you're not sure, here's this coaching opportunity. I love that model. Would you talk a little bit about Start in Phoenix? We talked about your podcast, which is this gift, really to be interviewing some of the greats. But also tell us about Start in Phoenix and who you are and the folks you serve.
Yeah, so Start in Phoenix is startinphoenix.com is a blog dedicated to best practices in sales and sales leadership. And like we talked about before, there is an underlying theme of best practices that enable or make possible a healthy or desired work-life integration. So for people with families, you know, how do we lead with revenue? How do we run sales teams and still be able to check out at 5 o'clock and focus on the people at the dinner table rather than fielding phone calls or just being consumed with, you know, the fires that didn't get put out before we left the office? And so we've got blog content, then we have the podcast, and now we even have a mastermind, so a completely virtual community that lives inside of a private Facebook group. We meet 3 times a month via Zoom. There's 3 different types of meetings. So the first meeting of every month, the first Tuesday of every month at 5:30, we have an expert speaker. Next week, we have Jackie Sabo, who's going to talk about a 1-page sales and marketing plan and breaking down your revenue goals into milestones and daily and weekly activities. The second meeting of every month is more of like a book club type conversation where we pick a book, we consume it, we come to that second meeting of every month ready to talk about, okay, how do we implement these best practices in, you know, prospecting, discovery, follow-up into our day-to-day sales and marketing activity. And then the third call of every month is more of a traditional, or what I consider a traditional mastermind experience where people can volunteer to be guy or gal in the middle, present to the group, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm working on. This is what I've tried. This is what's working. This is what's not working. And then leverage the collective experience and expertise of the group to decide on a new direction and, set some action items or some new goals and do that semi-publicly. So there's a sense of accountability baked into it.
Yeah, once you say it out loud, huh?
Right, in front of peers and folks that you know are going to hold you accountable.
Well, and beyond that, though, the real goal is to build relationships with these other members of the group by removing the hurdle of having to travel across town to engage with the same cast of characters on a regular basis. And so through doing that, I hope, sure, we build the type of know, like, and trust that sends us referrals and allows us to work directly with one another from time to time, but more importantly, goes beyond that baked-in accountability to the types of relationships that make hard conversations possible. You know, hey, Carolyn.
Like our conversation.
Yeah, you said you were going to do this thing. It's been 2 or 3 weeks. You haven't done it. Are these legitimate hurdles, or do we need to, or, you know, do you just need a fire lit nut? Lit underneath.
You know, one of the things that I love about what you're doing is I have a Venn diagram that I use in and I'll be using it in UAT this weekend. Is I try to focus on 2 aspects of the startup. One is sales, and the other is R&D. And probably the biggest complaint or the biggest pain that I hear from small businesses is quote unquote, we need to get the word out. Mm-hmm. And I always say, oh, you mean sales? you know, and so.
Oh, but I'm not a salesperson here.
Right. We're all in sales.
As he looks over and winks at me.
Right.
Thank you for saying we're all in sales.
Yes. No, and that's an important part of getting the word out or getting that mindset to shift from hoping that somebody's going to discover you to actually being able to execute and really have sales.
And taking responsibility for that.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
The accountability, yeah.
A couple of times we use the word team. You had mentioned it when you were kind of talking about the map, but I didn't quite really get how important that is from your perspective and your lens. Can you speak to that? Because when we talk about the map, I think as a business owner, an entrepreneur, innovator, like, okay, cool, I'm going to have this tool, and it's going to be up to Karen to execute and do all these things. But as you use the word team a couple of times, I got a little different perspective. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
So it's really about competencies and capabilities. So what I want people to focus on is being able to find individuals that complement them, that don't have the same skill set, and that will increase your bandwidth. So if you have 2 people with the same skill sets, let's say they're both front wheels, well, who's going to be doing all the day to day, you know, all the things that need to be done? If you have 2 people that are back wheels, well, who's going to be doing all the sales? Who's going to be client facing?
Mm-hmm.
And if you complement, you just have a front wheel, back wheel. Now you're starting to talk about Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak. Pretty simple, right? So the competencies and capabilities of the team always need to be complementary. So once you get your Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, then you got to find somebody that's in operations or somebody that's going to be more in the, we'll say, heavy in the R&D possibly, and finance. And you got to, you know, and that takes time. But the team is really about those two aspects, competencies, capabilities. And that to me is, I hope I answered your question, but that to me is,
it's a perfect answer.
No, I think like it runs the same theme of the E-Myth, right? Like you can't exit the business if you haven't delegated you,
right?
The things that you're great at. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, you need to find the people who do the things you don't like or you suck at, right? Mm-hmm. To again, accelerate the growth of the organization. And bit by bit, you slowly replace yourself. You start taking off all of those hats. And once you've finally taken that last hat off, only then could you potentially exit.
That's right.
And the map, to Carolyn's point quite early on in our conversation, is this visual way and this tactile way to have everybody on the same page.
True. That's right.
Especially as an entrepreneur and somebody who's created and has this vision inside, sometimes it's hard to like suck that out of their brain and have other people be able to, you know, dissect it and come on board with it because they can't articulate it quite well. Sounds like to me the map is a great way to say, look, again, this is our benchmark. We've gone too far. We need to come back and do this. And so it's an opportunity to everybody be able to be singing from the same sheet of music.
Step three in the map is it's just 6FC, and it's really the 6 functions canvas. And really any business, whether you be Intel or you're running a small stand on the street, every business has only 6 functions. And you've got to find a team to fill those functions. It's strategy, sales, operations, finance, service, and R&D. And so knowing those, you can then start, as you're growing, you know where the gaps are based off of what functions you're having to do. And if you can outgrow that and get somebody else to take your place, as you said, Brendan, then you're actually building an organization. And so the step three, the 6 functions canvas, speaks to the team on a little bit broader scale. And I didn't mean to get too granular.
No,
right,
I love
there,
it. But I think it's important for a little peek into the window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to do a shout out particularly to these small businesses. And I've actually started my own business with my husband in web development. And one of the things that happens, especially when you're working with family and friends, and that's basically how it starts a lot, is it's hard to have certain conversations because you also have these personal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, having that laid out as the startup map and having just the, you know, accountability and pointing to it, hey, you know, you're not doing this, I think is worth $40 this weekend alone.
Yeah. Well, like that's so in the 68 episodes of my show that we've done thus far, like there's been a reoccurring theme of like, should you work with family? Should you not work with family? And oftentimes the ones that like say yes, absolutely do it, is they've made a plan of who's good at what, and you're a complement to this relationship, right? Like, we're not going to be fighting over tasks. We're not going to be fighting over the things we like to do. You're great at that, and so I don't want to even touch it.
Stay out of that lane.
Right?
Yeah.
And that keeps everybody on an even keel, and it keeps tough conversations from turning into ugly ones.
Can you believe it's already been almost an hour?
Oh, my God.
It happens really quickly here at Phoenix Business Radio X. Before we kind of round out and have you each share how folks can get a hold of you again, the logo, your logo, and the unicorn. There's got to be a story behind that.
Yeah, well, you know, so the unicorn is what we aspire to be. A unicorn, metaphorically, is outside of the
vernacular.
Yes. is a billion-dollar startup, right? So, but the reality of it is, on the map, you'll see that there's a little pug on the map somewhere. You have to find it. And the pug.
Carolyn's like,
why do I not?
Yes,
and well, and she's like, I'm going to go find
the
it right
pug
now.
Pug is representative of us, right? We're cute. We're adorable. We're just trying to get there, but
we're a little sloppy.
Yeah, we're a little sloppy, but it's also an acronym for pursuing unicorn greatness. So we're pugs trying to get to unicorns, but the unicorn is really just a point that we're marching towards in terms of trying to get to that that billion-dollar valuation, if you will.
Well, there's so many different stories we could play off of that. I'm sure you've heard them. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, you know, if I go to my family, I've got this great idea, and this is what I'm going to do, and not everybody may be on board, right?
Right, that's,
you know,
right.
Not some people don't think unicorns are real, and so
I can,
yeah.
Sorry, wait a minute.
I love it. So many great, great lessons here. Thank you all for sharing your time with us. It's been a lot of fun. I would love to end the segment by having each of you share the first job you ever had, like first real paying job. You mentioned, I think, car washing or something like that, but.
Yes.
Where you were an employee of somebody else, and then finish off with, again, one more time, telling us who you are and where we can find you and do business with you. You want to start for us there, co-pilot?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the first job I actually paid taxes in?
Yeah.
Because I was always the kid knocking doors trying to get people to let me pull their weeds and mow
lawns. All four of us, I think, were definitely that. Yep. So, yes, the first one you actually had to pay taxes on. Let's go with that. That's a fun
Wendy's.
Version.
I was the drive-through. Yeah.
Wendy's. Taco Bell.
Yep.
Wow, very good. And so, again, who are you and where can we find you?
I'm Brendan Allen Barrett from startinphoenix.com. And if you're interested in the mastermind experience, you can check it out at startinphoenix.com/radiox.
Really? That's great. Thanks. All right. How about you, Aram?
Well, the first paying job that I got was when I was 21 years old. And that's when I started off right out of university in a company called Franklin Lord, and they were an investment banking firm, a boutique. But I never wanted to work for anyone. So I was always running 3 and 4 jobs in high school, college, and then that became the genesis of me getting into funding and financing small businesses I hate to say the year, but I will, 1992. And it was just a ton of fun. But you can reach me, or you guys can contact me at ahatoexit.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, and that's pretty much it. That's
wonderful.
And why did you not want to say 92? Because are you like pretending like you're old?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice try, right? Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry that was 92.
I'm pretty sure my first job breaks any child labor laws because I started at my father's GM dealership when I was 8.
That.
And I actually filed contracts, cleaned cars, but I did not like what I was being paid, which was 25 cents an hour. And so I went on strike at his dealership in front of everybody.
At about 8 to 9 years old?
Yes, I was 8 years old.
Sweet, smart girl.
Wow.
And I worked with management, negotiated, and got a 50% pay increase. So, yeah.
Nice.
and there began your career development towards all the great things that you've done for yourself and for businesses.
Yeah.
Wow, very good. I mentioned Taco Bell for me. I went Perimeter 83. Tell us.
Oh, yeah. So if you would like to reach out, perimeter83.com is a great way to reach me. I'm also on LinkedIn, Carolyn Vassos, V-A-S-O-S, and I live there, and I'm a connector, so I would like to hear from everybody.
The ultimate connector, although I think all four of us could probably share and celebrate that title collectively. So.
That's right.
Good to have you. So Taco Bell, I mentioned that right here on University. I don't think it's there anymore. Apache, sorry. I don't think it's there anymore. And robbed I was a senior in high school, and it was the bar shift, like, you know, midnight and beyond, with a gun.
Yikes.
And the other guy had a knife, two guys, and made us lay down on the ground on the front line and count to 100 or something. Within, I think we got up to like 6. People were leaning over the counter ready to order the next, you know, they were coming in and were oblivious. We'd just been robbed. My dad, you know, I go home that night and woke up my dad, and he's like, yeah, so you're quitting tomorrow. That was the end of my career in fast food. Yeah, that was the end of it. It has been a treat and a pleasure to have each of you here today. I am definitely going to be registering and setting my cardboard cutout since I can't be there, but I'm going to take advantage of the $40 opportunity to get to know you, get in front of the map, and then look to see where I already think I need to fit into this three-month coaching program, right? Is that what you
said?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, that's even better. Brendan knows that. I'm like, Brendan, I can't do it. I'm so busy, which is all the reason why I need to do it. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, thanks for listening. I'm Karen Nowicki.